speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Here we are in December already, and before we know it, it's going to be gone. What are your plans for the future? What if you lay down tonight and you do not wake up tomorrow? Have you put any thought into that? I remember whenever I was just a young boy, my mother would emphasize the importance of praying to God continually. And she taught us to utter a prayer that I know that she didn't come up with, because others also have shared that they have been taught the same thing. And that is that as we were going to bed of a night, to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul would take." You know, whenever we look at our lives, it is, as was read before us by Noah just a few moments ago, is that life is as a vapor. It is here just momentarily for a very short time, and then it is gone. And God gives us information with respect to what it is that we know to be a reality, is that life is not meant to be forever here in this world. And He defines for us, in fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, that death itself is an appointment. Not that there is a particular or specific appointed time where that we will die. And yes, I know that the Scripture does identify that our days are numbered as the hairs on our head. But yet, in regard to this matter, what God does emphasize in all of this is that we're not going to live forever upon the face of this earth. And He shows us that it is an appointed that man is going to die, and then after this is the judgment. And tonight, as we're looking into the Word of God and studying this subject matter, if I should die before I wake, I want each and every one of us to take inventory of our lives. And I want us to consider where we stand with God individually. And are there things that we're doing that are amiss in our lives? And if so, what are we willing to do? What are we going to do here and now in order to make those corrections so that if we die before we wake, if Christ were to come back even, is that heaven would be our eternal reward? You know, whenever we think with respect to our eternal destination and salvation, God makes it very clear that salvation is only in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus understood this whenever He came to this world, that He came to do the will of God, and a part of that was, in fact, a very big portion of this, meant that He was going to die to become the Savior of mankind. And Jesus asserted as much in John chapter 14 and verse 6, as the time of His death upon the cross is coming very close, He says, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." And it may be tonight that you're here and you do not understand what salvation is. Salvation means is that we have been delivered from sin, and now that we have hope of being eternally with our God in heaven. And if you do not understand that, and if you've not embraced God's saving grace in Christ, tonight we want to instruct you is that the only way in which you can have this salvation and hope of going to heaven is to be in Christ, to be a member of the Lord's church. You see, baptism is what puts us into Christ. Salvation is in Christ, and God makes it very clear in very understandable language that one must be immersed in a watery grave of baptism in order for them to have their sins forgiven and to be counted by God, to be put in Christ, and then Christ adds us unto His church. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, as well as Acts chapter 2, verse 41, as well as Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 signify these matters. And as we think about where we will spend eternity, God reveals to us in Scripture, also in very clear terminology, is that anyone outside of Christ, these individuals are lost. And it's one thing whenever we think about a person being lost in this world. Oftentimes, whenever we use language such as that, we mean that they're somewhere that they have no clue where they are. However, whenever God uses this expression or terminology and wants us to draw these conclusions, He means that they are outside of a relationship with Him in the time in which they are here in this world, but that that will also carry forward unless something's done about that. That will also be the state of which they are in whenever they stand before God in judgment. In regard to this, not only would we understand this to be the case with people who are out here in the world and in the denominational world, but my friends, also, God makes it very clear. He expresses these things very explicitly whenever it comes to erring members of the church, whenever it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not steadfast in the faith, who are not walking as God would have them to walk, who are not as faithful as what God calls upon us to be faithful before Him. These individuals are erring in their ways. And therefore, the Bible identifies that is erring souls. They are also now lost. There was a point where they were saved as what you and I are. But now they are considered to be seen as lost in the sight of God. And these individuals, as those outside of Christ, hence they will stand before God guilty of being lost in sin unless something is done about it. If you are a faithful member of the Lord's church, you don't have anything to worry about other than striving diligently each and every day as you have been doing to keep on doing this in your life, to live right before God, to walk right before God. And I will promise you, as God promises us in His Word, in the Scripture, is that as long as you and I walk in the light and we strive diligently to maintain our fellowship with God, that the blood of Christ will faithfully continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And therefore, whenever we stand before God, brethren, we will stand in great hope and with great joy, knowing that because we have sought to do what God commands us to do, that God will do what He has promised to do, and that is to give us an eternal life in heaven with Him. If you're outside of Christ, what does God require you to do? What are you going to do from this day forward? If you're outside of Christ, you must obey the Lord in baptism right now. Somebody says, well, why must I do it right now? Because as Noah read for our reading just a few moments ago from the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. We may have plans for tomorrow. I have plans for tomorrow, and I trust that each and every one of you have plans for tomorrow, but yet at the same time, our understanding of tomorrow, it may not line up with what God sees for us in tomorrow. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? That would make for a sermon within itself, would it not? For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He says, you're only here for just a short period of time, especially whenever you look at that in comparison to eternity. And therefore, that's why tonight I stress that if you have never been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you have reached that point of accountability before God, you cannot afford to wait any longer because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Christ might return, and if He doesn't return, you may not live to see tomorrow. Life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, and then before we know it, and before we've considered if we continue to be in that lost state, we will stand in the presence of God to give an account of our lives. So tonight, if you have not obeyed the gospel, I want to urge you, as we move forward into this lesson, to be thinking about your case or your situation and obey the Lord in baptism now because of the urgency that is laid before us. But then also, it may be that we're speaking as we're delivering this lesson from God's Word to those who are erring members of the church. And these individuals also need to understand the urgency to redirect their life in Christ now. In the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul, in regard to the work that he's doing here, says that these individuals were to declare first to those in Damascus as well as in Judea and throughout all the region of Judea, and then finally to those who are Gentiles. What is that which was to be declared? He says, to repent and to turn to God. Erring members of the Lord's church need to understand, as God directs them, not as Kevin teaches, as I teach concerning these matters and I line it with book, chapter, and verse, then yes, I am the messenger, but it is the message of God. It's not that Kevin says or that any other preacher or elder says, you've got to repent. We're just merely repeating what God says. You must repent. And true biblical repentance means that an individual, in turning away from sin, that they turn to God and do works befitting of repentance. Well, what does that mean, to do works befitting of repentance? It means that this individual has accepted within their mind that they're going to change their life, that they have committed this within themselves to say, I'm no longer going to do what it is that's caused me to walk away from God. But rather, I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to turn to His Word. I'm going to turn to what it is that His Word guides me and leads me from what I read and study. I'm going to apply these things to my life. That's what doing works befitting of repentance is. I'm no longer going to serve self. I'm no longer going to serve the world and Satan. Rather, from this day forward, I'm going to redirect my life in Christ now, before it is eternally too late, while God gives me this opportunity. But friends, also, what are you going to do from this day forward? It may be that you're an individual that says, you know, I need to know more about the Bible. I believe that if I knew more about what God teaches, what God commands me to do, I would make fewer mistakes. And to that I would say, amen. Being informed, knowing what the will of God is, would help us from committing sin in ignorance. Amen. And therefore, the more that we can be informed, the greater study that we give in regard to our focus upon God's will help us to know God, but also to see who we are, and even to recognize our shortcomings, and then help us from that day forward, from this day forward, mind you, to be a better Christian, more focused and committed to our God. Well, what is required? The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy and 2 Timothy, the second epistle here to this young evangelist in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, says, be diligent. This is from the New King James translation. The King James says, be diligent or study to show yourself approved unto God. The New King James, I believe, is more in line with the Greek language. Be diligent, and certainly study is a part of this. Be diligent in your study to present yourself in what manner, Paul? Approved to God. As Christians, isn't that what our life is supposed to be all about? Not proving myself before Joel and Joel approving himself before me. Not approving myself whether or not you're going to be pleased with me based off of just simply from a human standpoint. I want you to be pleased with me spiritually speaking. But above all, who is it that I should be striving to be approved before? It's God Almighty. Because He's the creator of me and of everyone else. And ultimately, it's God Almighty that I'm going to stand in front of and before to give an account of my life. And it's God who will judge my soul and sentence me to hell if I've not stood approved before Him. Therefore, Paul says, be diligent in your studies to present yourself approved to God. For a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I look back over my life in Christ, and especially whenever I was very young and weak in my faith, and I made a world of mistakes. And there were things that I thought to be true to the Bible that later in my studies and as I listened to others who were well-versed in the Scripture, they proved me to be wrong with respect to my thoughts on certain things, even as it deals with the Word of God. My understanding of the Scripture itself, I mean. And yet at the same time, the more and more I study as a mature Christian, and I do believe that my understanding of Scripture is fairly good, but there are still things that I'm learning every single day as I read and study from the Bible and digging deeper and deeper as I believe that God wants, in fact, commands me to do as a Christian and as a gospel preacher and as an elder. But God wants every one of us to do likewise. What are you going to do from this day forward in respect to your studies of the Bible? Don't only say, I wish I knew more. What are you going to do in order to complete that? But then also, I believe that God teaches us is that in order for you and me to be able to lay our heads down at night and to trust that God is going to be the keeper of our soul, that our soul will indeed spend eternity in heaven with Him, God shows us that we must be steadfast in our work now. Not that I'm going to one of these days do this or that, whenever I retire or whenever I get out of college, whenever I get out of high school, I'm going to pick up and I'm going to get involved the way that God wants me to do. Remember, that day may never come. And therefore, God shows us that we need to be steadfast in His work now. Who's He speaking to? And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he identifies that he's speaking to the beloved brethren, to his brothers and sisters in Christ. What's he say to these brethren? He says, be steadfast and immovable. What's he mean, be steadfast and immovable? He says, you make sure that as you are living here in this world, and this is the resurrection chapter, in order for you to be a partaker of this great and glorious body that's going to be bestowed upon God's faithful children in the end, he says, you've got to make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the truth. You've got to make sure that as Satan is tempting you through all of the worldly temptations, sinful things, ungodliness, the ways of this world, that you're wiser than the common person that is out there. That you've got your eyes focused in the right direction upon God, and you're not going to be moved in a way that would take you off course. How can you do that, Paul? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul, why should I always abound in the work of the Lord? I know you say that it's going to help me to be steadfast and immovable. He cinches it up in saying, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're faithful to the Lord's going to be faithful to you. In respect to when you stand in the presence of God, God will say, enter in, my good and faithful servants, for deeds that are well done. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say tonight? I'm hoping to convey exactly what it is that God has said in His Scripture. And that is that as Christians, if we want to go to heaven, we need to practice right regardless of what other people say and do in this world. And we need to do that now. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. Paul says, the life that I used to live, that served myself and that was popular in the world and amongst my fellow Jews, he says, I no longer live like that. But he says, it is Christ who lives in me. And Paul's not saying that Christ was literally dwelling within him, having taken over his body. He goes on to say, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God Paul says, my faith in God has increased more and more because of Jesus Christ, because of who He was and because of all that God has revealed through Him for me as an apostle. And he says, this has enhanced my life in such a way that I have truly given Him lordship over my life, to where now that everything that I say and do, I run it through for God's approval. By His Word, it's the way that we would do that today. And through prayer, so as to where God would be number one in our lives. Why did He do that? He says, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If I should die before I wake, I hope and pray that heaven will be my eternal reward. If you should die before you wake, I hope and pray that heaven will be your eternal reward. If you question that tonight, the invitation belongs to you. If you need to be baptized, we will assist you to that end. If you're here tonight and you're erring brother or sister in Christ and need the prayers of the church, we will pray with you to that end. If you're subject to His call, His invitation this very hour, please come as together.